This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Today I'm going to talk about the Peyton Watson situation. We'll get into that. Where are we on it? It's July 21st. There's still really no major movement. What kind of offseason will this go down as for the Denver Nuggets, who still believe that they're in a championship type of window? We'll get into that. Rockies, trade deadline's coming up. Hunter Goodman, are we really going to see the Rockies move on from them? Spencer Smith will join us later on. Top stories of the day, LeBron watch, it's still going. And ESPN had some interesting firings. Yesterday, Kevin Lytle outlines the CSU rankings in the new video game. Not that that matters. However, I'll tell you why it does. The whole show starts now. Joe of Northern Colorado. I am Brady Hull. We've got Michael Kirkpatrick on the other side of the bulletproof glass. Michael, yesterday was kind of a heated day for no apparent reason, but we're friends again. How you doing, man? It's good to see you. It's good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too. I didn't think it was that heated.
Oh, no, I didn't either. No, you were totally not overreacting to anything. Nuggets coming up with this Peyton Watson stuff is fascinating to me. And if you didn't think it was heated, Mike, you should read the text line. Okay? Read the text line once in a while. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Now, a lot of the talk about the Nuggets was just whether or not they were really in the sweepstakes for LeBron James. They're not going to get LeBron, and I've said it from the beginning. They're not going to get him. I don't want him here, and it doesn't make sense for him. That's what you were waiting on? I'm not saying there were a ton of moves to be made, but really the only move for Denver so far, I mean, they've made a few signings. Marvin Bagley, you know, the draft picks are interesting. I think Trevin Brazil might be a player. We'll see. But really, you're losing guys. More than anything. You know, Val's gone, just like that. That one's over. And, you know, you bring in a couple. You bring in this, the EuroLeague Defender of the Year, Alpha Diallo, has agreed to a one-year, $1.4 million deal. This was earlier in the month. And listen, like, that seems like an exciting move to me. You know, as far as, you don't need LeBron James. You need guys that are committed to defense like it's their job, like that is their job. Well, a EuroLeague Defender of the Year might be that kind of guy. But when it's all said and done, and you're talking about trying to win another title in the Joker window, you've pretty much just lost guys. I think Marvin Bagley could be good for Denver. I do. How good? Gut tells me just kind of a guy for the most part. You're resting so much of the future of the Joker window. You're resting so much of that on the shoulders of Joker, Jamal Gordon, and now I guess Christian Brown. And I just think that's a dangerous way to live with this team. Not to say that there were any amazing options out there, but this is Denver saying that they believe Peyton Watson is the guy. He's the one that's going to take them to this next level. They better be right, and they better hope he wants to be here. Because the longer this goes, the more I wonder, does he want to be here? Now, remember, he didn't play in the playoffs. I'm not one of those hosts that says, oh, he could have played. I've heard that. There is that narrative out there that he could have played. I don't know what that's based off of, but I tend to not believe that until proven otherwise, at least if we're specifically talking about Peyton Watson. But why isn't it done? $25-plus million is what we are being told he would like. So the poll question today is, you'll like the sponsor of today's poll question, Michael, is Pause the Superhero Act. You like that one? Pause the Superhero Act? Based on our conversation yesterday?
I get it.
You get it? That's all you got? That's all you got for me today?
No. That's all I had for you in that moment.
Okay, fantastic. That's what this is going to be today. Great. Is Peyton Watson worth $25 million? Are you going to give him $25 million? And I think most people that are looking at this are saying, sure doesn't feel like he's worth that. He's not the guy worth $25 million. You already did it with Christian Brown. You're just getting away from the Michael Porter Jr. thing. Is it time to do it again? To just double down on it? And I'm not so sure. That's a big gamble to take, especially since you already did it. You did it once with MPJ, and it was good because he was a good player. It didn't work out great, but it was fine because he was a good player. You did it again with Christian Brown, who has been worse since. And now you're trying to tell me that just triple down on that effort and do it again with Peyton Watson? You'll be locked in. This will be the roster you're locked in with if you're giving him that kind of money. And I'm just... because then you're locked in. You're going to be locked in with Joker. Joker's not going anywhere. I believe what he says. I believe. Yes, he's going to be a Nugget for life. Jamal Murray, still got him for 3 more years. At the mid to high 50s. Aaron Gordon, you got him for this year and next year, and then the player option at 39, which he will probably take. So you're locked in with those guys and Christian Brown now. If you get Peyton Watson, you will be in the same situation you were in the offseason of last year, where you will have 4 guys that are being paid so much you can't pay anybody else. And that was supposed to be the moves last year for the Nuggets, was that they move off of Michael Porter Jr. and they clear enough room for the bench unit to get guys like Tim Hardaway Jr. here, to bring Bruce Brown back, to sign Jonas Valanciunas. And those guys are all gone, at least today. We know Tim Hardaway Jr. is gone. We know Big Val's gone. Now we're just, does it even matter if Bruce Brown's back? He didn't make the impact I think a lot of people were hoping that he would make, kind of like he did in this championship year. But all of those moves that you made by offloading Michael Porter Jr.'s contract are gone or weren't really that beneficial to you in the long run. So now you just say, okay, well, that didn't work out. We already paid Christian Brown because we thought we were set. Let's let all the bench guys walk and just give Peyton Watson the money and basically make him our next Michael Porter Jr. problem. I'm not necessarily saying it's the wrong move. It will handcuff you. It will be back to, you better hope Joker, Murray, Gordon, Brown, and Peyton Watson are this elite starting five. And where the bench really just doesn't matter that much. That's what you better hope for. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. I thought it was fascinating too with Troy. We'll catch up with Sean Keeler tomorrow with the Denver Post. And they had their back. He had his back and forth with Troy Rank. I think Keeler said it best. This summer so far could be described as a series of unfortunate events. I mean, they're right up against the second apron. They're terrified of the second apron. They don't want to go there. They have a guy that didn't deliver on his contract in Christian Brown, but it's too late. You're already locked into that. And now you have a Peyton Watson that may or may not want to be here, but if he does want to be here, it's going to cost you $25 million. And if you do get him, you'll be in that second apron unless you can move off of Cam Johnson. But you can't have it. I think you got to do the Cam Johnson thing first before you can commit to – before you can even if you sign Payton Watson and then get rid of Cam Johnson, I believe you would still be in the second apron because you already activated it for the next season, even if you get out of it in the midst of the offseason. It's you can't have it the other way around. So a big decision is going to have to be made for Denver. And this is, you know, last year, the year before that, it was, man, you got to take advantage of Joker's window. And now suddenly you have Denver, and I talked about this yesterday, you have media members that are turning on Joker, saying it's on Joker. He needs to take a pay cut. How about Payton Watson? Like, he wants $25 million to stay on this team. And you're asking Joker to take a pay cut? Payton Watson hasn't proven to me that he's actually worth $25 million. But I also believe you go out and you get that money while you can. So I'm not one of these guys that says, hell no, he should just do it for a little bit less. No, good for Payton Watson. Go out and get paid. I think you should. But if we're going to say a player needs to take a pay hit or anything like that, let's not put it on the franchisest of franchisiest players ever. Let's not do that. Let's not run this guy out of town. It's amazing how fans and media can turn on a guy so quickly. 17 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. Keep it here. I want to get into my top five storylines surrounding the Denver Broncos as the rookies are checking into camp today. We'll start breaking down the AFC West. There is a big NFL name. Thinks the Broncos are going to be just fine this year. Top stories of the day coming up. We'll talk some Rockies with Spencer Smith. All that and more. Keep it here on the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
Should be a busy offseason for the Avalanche and the Nuggets. What needs to change? Follow along with us on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We can legally play that Brock Wisney intro there because he's in the middle of a lawsuit. I did reach out to him. No, you can play it. You're good on that. He just can't say anything about the lawsuit in the intro. Does he?
No, that lawsuit didn't exist back then.
No, full disclosure, Brock and I are still talking. Like, we still text back and forth. He's got big news coming up, and I don't know if it's public knowledge, so I can't really say. But I know he's got a team. He's playing. He's going to be playing. And I know that's public knowledge. He's got other stuff going on that I've seen on Facebook, so I don't know how public he wants to make it. Brock Wisney and I are good. He's just suing the NCAA. Mike, when you first met Brock Wisney, and I would have said, hey, in the future, Brock Wisney's going to be suing the NCAA, would you have believed me? That guy doesn't look like he could sue or would try to sue anyone, and that's a compliment to him.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of NIL deals, and all the athletes have been cool. He's been one of the coolest guys.
Maybe the easiest to work with?
I hadn't heard any complaints from the guy. So, this is kind of a big deal.
Well, and it's not that his lawsuit is, I want to make this very clear, I think he's justified in his reasoning for doing this. And I don't think it's a bad thing that he's doing this, because it's ridiculous to me. 5 for 5. If you're making that rule now, it should apply to everyone that's currently in college basketball. Why is it not? Like, I don't understand that. If you're making a rule, and I guess it passed, it's passed now, and Brock Wisney has graduated. But that means nothing because if under this new rule, he still has a year left of eligibility because he went 4 for 4. He played 4 years. He didn't have a red shirt. No injury red shirt or freshman red shirt or anything like that. He played 4 full years. Basketball's a little bit different than football. So I just think it's a fascinating thing. I did reach out to his attorney, and we will be trying to get... So you really mind our P's and Q's on this, Mike. We're going to be trying to get his attorney on the show. Would like to talk to me before we get her on the show to make sure, you know, we're not trying to do anything sneaky here. But I want to get this conversation going because again, Brock Wisney is suing the NCAA because of the five for five thing that he and several other players, maybe 12, do not get to take a part in because it was happening. It passed and they're already done. And so Brock's looking at that kind of going, well, that's kind of unfair, man. It's kind of screwed up.
Yeah, usually when a rule or a law is passed, they take into account what's happening currently. So what was happening currently was Brock Wisney had that extra year. And they did not take that into account. And so they deserve to be sued, in my opinion.
You think Wisney should have been given, and every player for that matter that was a senior this year that played 4 years.
I mean, anyone who was a freshman. Anyone who was a freshman, you just say, hey, you're coming into this season, you're already there. This is for people after you. And I don't know what the lawyers are thinking. The rule makers just sometimes don't consider everything. And I understand the NIL deal situation got really massive. Like, nobody saw that coming. But it feels like everything that they do, they don't think of any consequences whatsoever.
Yeah, it's supposed to be you get 4 seasons to play. That's it. Those were the old rules. You get 4 seasons to play. Now, if a coach says you're a freshman, I don't know if you're going to be ready yet. I'd rather redshirt you so that I still have 4 years with you. But you get to be at our system. You get to go to our practices and stuff, and you get to learn and film and all that. So I'm going to redshirt you. You still get 4 years. If you break your leg, you know, in practice, in fall camp, you're out for the season. Okay, I'm going to redshirt you. You still get 4 years. This new rule is 5 years no matter what. So you can play 5 years. You can be a five-year senior or two-year senior, whatever it is. So you could play 5 years if you want, but there is no messing around with a redshirt. If you get hurt, you get hurt. That is it. Is there going to be an opening to appeal that? Maybe, but from what I understand right now, it is 5 years. So the court documents on the case say the athletes do not challenge the new rule. It's not the new rule that they're challenging. The athletes object to the application of the rule by the NCAA, quote, which has in the past decade allowed athletes from the classes of 2017 through 2021 and 23 onward to play 5 seasons while singling out plaintiffs and 2022 classmates who played 4 straight seasons from playing a fifth. They're basically saying, why are you choosing our year? Why is it from 2017 through 2021 and 23 onward to play 5 seasons while singling out plaintiffs and 2022 classmates? It does seem wildly unfair. Faith says, so would he want to possibly come back to play college ball for another year? If he wins, is that the goal, or be compensated? I don't think at this point, on July 21st, coming back to play college ball would be a reality. You know, because they're already, like, basketball right now, CSU, UNC, they're practicing right now. They're in their summer workouts, summer practices, and then they'll break pretty soon. But they're already preparing. Coach Smiley is already preparing his team for life, months ago, was preparing his team for life without Brock Wisney. So what they're looking for, they're claiming immediate and irreparable harm, including but not limited to the loss of athletic opportunity, educational harm. So that's what they're claiming is happening to them, lost academic opportunities and the benefit and support inherent to go to being on a college team. Money damages cannot fully compensate plaintiffs or the class for these harms, the suit says. Again, he's not commenting. He hasn't commented with me either. He has, according to Ann Delaney in the Tribune, he referred inquiries to Florence, whose work includes in sports and with name, image, and likeness and eligibility. Florence said the case is about fairness for all athletes who were 2022 high school graduates. Florence said while she didn't recall the exact outreach to Wisney to bring him into the lawsuit, when athletes found out the eligibility changes didn't apply to students from the high school class of 2022, there was interest in becoming a plaintiff. So again, Wisney already signed a professional contract to play in Spain. He already signed that.
But would he have signed that if he had had a fifth year?
No, I think he'd play. I think he'd be the starting center for the UNC Bears for another year. We'd be doing the Brock Wisney show next fall.
Yeah, that's like if he wanted to come back and this rule already existed, or if he went 3 years and then signed, that would be completely different. But not having that fifth year option and then him signing with somewhere in Spain, I think there is a correlation. There is a correlation because he may not have signed that contract if he had had a fifth year.
Well, and he didn't tell us this. Remember, we kept asking him off and on the air, like, you got any bites yet? I remember even Smiley kind of joking, but he's like, yeah, I don't know if Brock has an agent quite yet. I'm like, well, that's typical Brock. He probably doesn't think about that stuff. Not, and this is a positive thing. Like, he's not thinking about agents and stuff. He's thinking about playing basketball. He's thinking about being a good student. He's thinking about being a good family guy to his mom and dad, and a good boyfriend to his girlfriend, and good brother to all of his siblings. He's not thinking about that stuff. But now, starting to connect it, Mike, was he delaying on all of that because he thought, maybe there's a chance I get to play another year? Because he would have. I think he would have. I think he would have chosen to play another year for UNC.
My opinion is the NCAA did this. It's their fault. They shouldn't have come up with that rule, and they should have had everybody who had signed a contract with a team or had joined a team, whether you're a freshman or a senior, they should have said, you guys are grandfathered in, and they wouldn't be in this mess again.
Yeah, now if Brock would have been red, if Brock would have had a freshman red shirt, right, and then played 4 years, then okay, you're done. That's it. That falls within the new guidelines, five for five. But he played 4 years, and he should get another year according to the new rule that's supposed to be just enforced from now on. But they're protecting. They're gonna hook up the players from classes of 2017 through 2021 and 23 onward to play five seasons. I don't understand that, Mike. Why are they allowing? Oh, this is saying basically if there's certain rules that have happened, they've let the classes of 2017 through 21 and 23 onward to be a part. I'm confused by this. So are they allowing other? So are sophomores in college right now? Are they allowed? Or is this just starting fresh with oncoming freshmen?
It should start with just oncoming freshmen.
It should either be that or every class.
Or yeah. I think it's really stupid. There's not a lot of foresight. They want to fix everything, and they want to fix it now. But, like, that whole fifth-year thing isn't the biggest issue. To me, the transfer portal is a bigger issue. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even convinced they fixed that.
I'm trying to find when it starts. Michael, I can't seem to find it. I would like to know if it starts. The 2027 high school recruiting class, according to CBS, will get screwed by this. So, let me read. This is from Gary Parrish. This is an interesting story. The 2027 high school recruiting class will get screwed by the NCAA's new 5-for-5 eligibility rule. So based on the size and space alone, blah, 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 blah. Let's see. I'm trying to skim down it. Moving forward will allow student athletes 5 years of eligibility over a 5-year span. What you might not realize, though, is that it's going to lead to an unusual situation next year when basically nobody exhausts their eligibility. He's meaning the recruiting class will be getting screwed because no one's going to be looking for that particular recruiting class because everybody's going to stay for next year. So it is happening just with oncoming freshmen going forward, it sounds like.
So it sounds like pandemic version two, because you had that extra year because not every team, not every sports from a college had that extra year thing. So you're having 2 years with the two recruiting possibilities from high school being screwed over in the last 10 years.
I gotta check into this more, Mike. Active college athletes with remaining eligibility will be able to play five seasons. So is it just Is it just the seniors that didn't get this opportunity, that aren't getting this opportunity? Yeah, I'm gonna dig into that a little bit later on. Also, my top five stories surrounding the Denver Broncos, and I'll get your thoughts on it too, Mike. Like, what are the biggest things on your mind? You don't have to do five. The biggest things you're curious to see from the Broncos as far as training camp, the storylines that surround training camp, leading us to the preseason. We'll get into that, unpack it for a bit. 33 minutes after the hour, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the Local Sports Flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most: local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Miles McClarty, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Big City Roadhouse. It is packed with everything. TVs everywhere. Monster TVs. The best food around. Seriously, the Big City. It's a fairly new concept from the owners of Big City Burrito. We've developed a wonderful relationship with Don and Cleta. They are amazing. Don is constantly bringing up new items, and man, they like this macaroni and cheese that they came up with was ridiculous. But here's the new items that I need to tell you about. Pork chops are now available at Big City Roadhouse. Grilled chili lime marinated chicken available at Big City Roadhouse. Popcorn shrimp now available at Big City Roadhouse. And they're to die for, mac and cheese. Just some of the new items available at Big City Roadhouse, man.
Are these new or are they getting rid of some of the old items?
They never seem to get rid of old stuff. They just keep adding new stuff. I think the new stuff just replaces the current new stuff and they see what sticks. But everything's pretty damn good.
Yeah, because if I feel like I should go there now. I don't know if you can run the show by yourself, but I want to go there now to make sure that
really
some of my
break.
Old menu items don't disappear.
Well, the pizza's not going anywhere. Don't worry, pizza's not going anywhere.
Yeah, but will that burger go somewhere?
No, burger's not.
There's only so much space.
Burger's not going anywhere. In fact, here's an idea for you on Saturdays and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's their brunch menu. They have the breakfast burger, fried egg, bacon, American cheese, and potatoes. Man. They have Roadhouse Rancheros. They have chicken and waffles, French toast, the Roadhouse, which is two eggs, potatoes, bacon, and toast. Belgian waffles, and of course the breakfast burrito. Outstanding. I mean,
I still have yet to have the breakfast burrito.
I know, and you wanted me to bring it to you, but the idea of putting food in my car after I stuffed my face with hot dogs last time around, I would have thrown up. I would have thrown up in the car.
Also, the burrito would have been several hours old.
And the burrito would have been in my car with throw up. And just the smell of that would have surrounded your burrito.
How about next time you guys see how much Big City Roadhouse food you can eat instead of hot dogs?
I'm done with hot dog eating. I'm done with food competitions for a while, but I am not done with Big City Roadhouse. They are awesome. Big City Flavor Roadhouse Comfort. Tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show. In fact, Michael, here in just a bit, I'm going to give you somebody a chance to win a $25 gift certificate to Big City Roadhouse, and you're going to absolutely love it. You're going to love it. You know, the only thing I ask is if you win this, is you tell them where you want it, how you want it, all that. 40 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, Broncos training camp is almost here, Mike. And I have questions. I have several questions surrounding the Broncos. But, you know, I think it's fun to kind of narrow that down. I think Bo Nix certainly has a lot of questions. I think the Davis Webb thing is fascinating. I think J.K. Dobbins' health is fascinating. The addition of Jaylen Waddle to this team, the loss of John Franklin Myers, and maybe Jonathan Cooper is fascinating for me. How will Sean Payton and Vance Joseph operate together this year? Because maybe it was a little bumpy toward the end of the season, into the playoffs a season ago. I have a lot of questions. Is there one thing that just is right there that you think of when you think of biggest storyline surrounding the Broncos as they get set to open up training camp this week? Is it the ankle or is it something else?
I mean, for other people, it's the ankle. For me, it's how is the offense going to run? Is it going to run? I mean, I assume it's going to run more smoothly, and I blame a lot of that offensive misproduction on such discombobulation before the snap and also not running the ball as much. Is Davis Webb going to be more diverse in his play calls? Is he going to get Marvin Mims more involved in the offense and in kind of, you know, those silly plays, those gimmick gadget plays that people run? The Jonathan Cooper story is worrisome just a bit, but there's so much depth there. I don't think it's as big of a deal, but for me, mostly running backs and play calling.
Is that so play calling probably, it sounds like that's what you started with, is the flow of the offense. So Davis Webb, that dynamic might be your biggest concern. Your biggest, yeah. Not concern, the biggest thing you're looking at and how they approach this training camp.
Yeah, and my number two would be the running back situation, because you do have a history of injury there. So if J.K. Dobbins goes down, who's going to fill in?
Like, yeah.
I worry about that one. Tight ends, I'm just assuming, aren't going to exist.
Well, and they should.
They should, but they haven't existed for the Broncos in 12 years.
There's no reason that Evan Ingram, I think, led the league in missed targets, dropped passes. He was targeted, as far as tight ends go, he was targeted 76 times. He had 50 receptions for 461 yards and a touchdown.
He should have gotten the ball more in the game against the Commanders.
Is that an Evan Ingram thing, or is that a lack of creativity surrounding the play calling thing that didn't get Ingram involved?
I feel like that's more of a Sean Payton thing. So I'm going to assume I'm not worried about them as much. I think overall it is mostly a question mark about Davis Webb. Is he this genius that he is secretly alleged to be?
So here's where my biggest thing is, and it kind of is it's like a couple things rolled into one, and it's basically what you're talking about. I want to find out, and we will find out, was it Sean Payton's lack of consistency in his play calling with running the ball, the things he would choose to run with Bo Nix? Was that what caused Bo to struggle in the first quarter and early in the second and a good chunk of the third? Or is Bo just kind of that guy that he's not going to be great, but if you can keep your team in the game by the time you're in the fourth quarter, he can win it, which again is a dangerous way to live. I want to see how much one-on-one, again, one-on-one Davis Webb, Bo Nix time, or even to reverse that, is that going to give Sean Payton more time to be one-on-one with Bo Nix more hands-on with Bo because Davis Webb is running the offense? Whatever the dynamic ultimately ends up looking like, I want to know if that is a simple fix to get Bo to be a four-quarter quarterback, not a fourth-quarter quarterback.
I think the biggest answer to some of our questions comes from the Raiders game in Denver last year. I mean, you went over the play-by-play call, and
he
abandoned the run. He abandoned
the
run.
Was that the second game?
Just keep throwing the ball.
Was that the second game or the first game?
The first one.
Yeah, where they
won. The one that was 10-7.
Yeah. I remember writing that out as I'm watching the game, because I like to take random notes. I never know what kind of notes I'm going to take for a game. Sometimes I will literally just write what they did on each play. Sometimes I will take a few notes from each possession. I will write down first and third downs, conversions, things like that. But in this game, I wanted to make a point. I remember that. I'm glad you bring that up. I wanted to make a point as to how Sean Payton was running this offense. And I wish I still had those notes on me. But it was a lot of three and outs. I mean, the Broncos had 2 3 and outs in the first quarter. And they had two 3 and outs in the second quarter, but also a touchdown and an interception. It's kind of the good with the bad. But if you went through and looked at that, you would see, what was it, Mike? Was it J.K. Dobbins ran a lot in like three possessions? Like a lot. And then outside of that, it was kind of like Sean Payton said, okay, this is the possession where we're going to get him his carries. Not really a flow of the game kind of thing. More of a, we have a quota of carries he needs to get, so let's just get it out of the way here. Oh, crap, we got to go back to him at some point. Let's go do it again here. And then it disappeared. I'm really glad you brought that up because we discovered that. It was really obvious what Sean Payton was doing in that game. He either forgot to run it or he tried to meet a quota in a couple of possessions.
I actually do remember that segment like really well because of how critical you were. And you've been critical a lot of Sean Payton. And maybe some people will disagree with you, but there's no disagreement there. There's no disagreement in that game. And you were very like disappointed. The Broncos should have beat them by two scores. But just the offensive play calling has been an issue. That's why it's my biggest question. That's why Davis Webb is my biggest question. Can he be more consistent? Can he be more creative? Can he help open things up for Bo Nix? Because it wasn't just the lack of talent at wide receiver. It was lack of play calling, of quality play calling.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
And then we were promised a Joker position last year, but there was no Broncos Jokic.
In the second quarter of that game, the Broncos go three and out in for their first possession. J.K. Dobbins didn't touch the ball. It was an incomplete pass to R.J. Harvey, an R.J. Harvey run, and then another incomplete pass to Sutton. In the second possession in that quarter, it was a throw to J.K. Dobbins, then a short pass to Troy Franklin, then an incomplete pass, and a punt. So in 2-3, you know, 2-3 and outs there to start the second, J.K. Dobbins has not ran the ball yet. And then finally, they run the ball. Very next possession they get, after they're down 7-0 at this point, J.K. Dobbins first touches the ball as a running back with 5:58 to play in the second, and he breaks it for a 13-yard run. The Broncos, coincidentally, go down and score on that possession. J.K. Dobbins ran it in the second play. Then there was a 2-yard pass. Then there was another pass. Then they ran it with Harvey. And then you had the 7-yard touchdown. So, I mean, it shows you that game. You're right. It shows you what that does to Bo Nix, what that does to the offense. And it certainly gives me more optimism about Bo going forward if you have a real feel to what you're doing with your play calling.
If you don't run the ball, especially with your best running back, if you don't run the ball, that makes the defense's game plan real simple.
Yeah.
All they have to do is worry about an arm. They don't have to worry about, well, I mean, they have to worry about his legs, but you don't have to worry about the running back because you know he's going to go out in the flat, or you know he's going to stay in and try to block.
Or it's very predictable when you do get a first, like a run right off the bat with J.K. Dobbins, you can go as a defense and say, they're going to just go all in on the running game here. They're going to do it here. That's when you could look at game film, you could look at a box score, and you could say, J.K. Dobbins gets his carries in chunks. So if he gets like two carries in a possession, get ready, boys, because they're going to be giving him the rock.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that Davis Webb will be different.
You got to mix it up. And those are the best play callers that know when to press those buttons. They're not forcing the issue.
I hate to say it, but I want him to be so good that somebody else hires him.
That's and for Vance Joseph too, which could be a big problem after next season. But go get a Super Bowl while you can. 11:51 the time. That's a good point, by the way. Davis Webb, Vance Joseph. If they do exactly what we want them to do, they'll both be gone. We'll be right back.
Good morning. NOCO has their eyes on the skies this summer. Here, Denver and Front Range Weather's Cody Wilson on the show for the latest local forecast on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. The Fort Collins Foxes are getting close to wrapping up the season. Wonderful baseball team makes their summer plans to play in Fort Collins. And they have high-level baseball players. They have several Division I and all-conference players. And we're getting down to it, man. They've got the Colorado Lumberjacks tonight and tomorrow. Then the El Paso Miracles, followed by, which brought up a weird conversation yesterday, but the Boulder 64s, which Michael educated us yesterday. We learned why they are called the Boulder 64s. We got there. It was a journey, but we got there.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be something interesting.
It wasn't that interesting, but it kind of makes sense. It's kind of a cool name, kind of, even for Boulder. 11:57 the time. We'll get to the top stories of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.